That's the end of the first half. As the teams head to the locker room, the Spartans lead the Bulldogs by a score.
You guys stink.
Jeez, Coach, we're only down a couple of points.
No, I mean you guys really smell. You need to hit the showers. And here, I got every one of you new bars of soap from the Sterling Soap Company. Each bar is artisan crafted using natural ingredients and essential oils. They also have shave soaps, colognes, beard balm, and a whole lot more. Now get in there.
But Coach, we have another half to play.
I don't care. I can't stand to be around you.
A few minutes later.
All right, bring it in tight. You guys are still playing terrible, but you're smelling great out there. Now listen, you're going to need to stock up for the rest of the season. We got a lot of tough games left. So go to sterlingsoap.com after the game. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com. You got that?
Yes, Coach.
Great. sterlingsoap.com on three. One, two, three.
sterlingsoap.com.
Hey there, how's it going? Have you ever wanted to own a piece of the game? You know, I'm talking about the card of your favorite rookie quarterback or a slice of history from the legend you grew up watching. But then you walk into a card shop or browse online and it hits you. Prism, Optic, Hobby, Retail, Parallels, PSA 10. It's an entirely different language. No fear. You might feel lost, but you're not alone. The world of football cards can feel confusing and intimidating to newcomers. And the biggest fear is always the same. Am I about to waste my money? Well, is it a waste of money if you're about to have some fun? And you can do it on a low budget. And we're going to show you how here in this series. We're going to be talking about the next few weeks on how to start collecting football cards. We're going to give you an overview of that today here on Pigskin Dispatch.
Check it out. Pigskin Dispatch video. Yeah! Woohoo!
Now, the first thing you want to do is to start choosing the why you want to collect. Before you start spending a single dollar, the most important thing you can do is answer one simple question. Why am I collecting? There's no wrong answer here, but knowing your goal will guide every single decision you make and make the hobby more rewarding. It's your foundation. Let's break down the most common approaches. First, you can be a player collector. Now, this is one of the most popular ways to start. You pick one, two, or a handful of your favorite players and try to get as many of their different cards as you possibly can. Let's say you like Tom Brady. Maybe you want to get a Tom Brady card from 2021. Maybe his rookie card is next. Maybe a Super Bowl card. Maybe an All-Pro or a Pro Bowl card. There's many different options to choose from. You can also go to somebody else, you know. Maybe you want to go back in a Wayback Machine and get a Reggie White. You know, they're lots of fun to do. You can get the same things there. You can get them as a Packer. You get them as an Eagle. Different seasons, all pros, all kinds of different things in the different brands. Now, there's lots of variations known as parallels, or even when cards have an autograph. This way, you get to follow a player's entire career as they hit the new milestones, and your collection becomes a physical record of their journey. It's a focused, intensely personal way to collect with the game. To illustrate how rewarding this can be, here's an example in this past year. The value of rookie cards and emerging stars like, let's say, C.J. Stroud, surged by over 50%, not only bringing a windfall to those who invested early, but also creating a deeper emotional connection as they witnessed his growth. The intersection of emotional joy and potential financial gain truly embodies the way of collecting. Second way is you can be a team collector. Does your loyalty belong to only one franchise? Well, sometimes that's what people do. You may want to start off and say, hey, I'm going to get the entire Green Bay Packers team from last season. Maybe you want the Green Bay Packers from 1994. Maybe you want the Green Bay Packers from the 1960s. That'd be a fun one to do. But that might cost you a little bit more money. But that's what it's called being a team collector. It's a fantastic way to feel connected to the whole organization, and it gives you someone to root for and collect every single season. Third, you could be a set builder. Now, this is one that I've found a lot of fun. For those who love a challenge and rush over the hunt, this is your destiny. A set is a specific group of cards from a single product, like the 2025 Topps Chrome Base Set, which might actually include hundreds of cards from across the league. Or one of my personal favorites that got me back here in my adult life is that, those top super football cards from 1969, which was 35 card set, oversized cards. And I ended up finishing the collection with a lot of help from my friends and some of my local card shops that helped me out there too. And finally, there's the investor. Now, this one's a little bit more difficult. The approach treats cards as assets with the primary goal of being a financial return. This requires a much deeper level of market research, data analysis, and preparedness to take on the risk, and also takes a little bit more funding. We'll get in touch with what makes a card valuable, but I can't stress enough that for beginners, start by collecting what you love. It's a passion. It's a hobby. It's got to be fun, you know, and you want something that's fun that you can relate to and that you're passionate about. And you don't have to spend a lot of money. There's ways you can do it. You can go to a rummage sale in your neighborhood, perhaps, or maybe there's some cards for sale there. You know, there's local card shops that have some cards that are of all different varieties. You could buy the newer cards and brand new packs. They also, many of them have older cards and some at a steeply, deeply lesser price than retail that you might have done. Matter of fact, I have a consignment shop that's near me where you can buy 10 cards for a dollar. You know, they're not the most valuable ones, but sometimes you just go through and you find some and it's a lot of fun just to grab them and come home and check them out and do some research on those players. I do that quite a bit. And I use some of those in the videos that we put here on Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel. Now, understanding the key brands and the card types. Okay, so once you got your mission, you know, and you're in the card aisle and you face a wall of different boxes, this is where most of the beginners start to get overwhelmed. So let's make it simple. First thing you need to know is that the trading card world just went through a major shakeup. For many years, a company called Panini was the only licensed authorized use of the NFL team names and logos on the cards. However, starting in 2026, the exclusive license has been transferred to Fanatics, which is bringing back the legendary Topps brand football. Now, Fanatics recently in the last couple of years bought the Topps brand, and now they have the licensing to go with it for the NFL. This means that while you still see a lot of Panini products on shelves from past years, the new officially licensed cards with the logos will be from Topps. Both companies make dozens of different products, and they generally fall into three tiers. Think of it like cars that you have reliable daily drivers, a popular sports car, and high-end supercars. Now, the collector's corner is understanding the modern trading card is a difficult process, but for fans looking to possess a piece of gridiron history, a contemporary trading card market delivers a high-stakes means to engage with the game. However, the industry is presently navigating its most major shift in decades. The brand shakeup of Panini Fanatics, yeah, that's definitely a thing we just talked about. But there's three tiers of the modern collecting cards of three categories. There's the entry-level daily drivers, products like the Panini Donruss or the new Topps equivalent are the perfect starting point. Known for their iconic rated rookie subset, the cards use a classic paper stock and are affordable and accessible. Then there's the mid-tier, sort of the sports cars of the trading card business. This is the big three of the modern hobby. Prism, Donruss Optic, and Select Prism are the crown jewels, famous for its metallic chromium finish and a rainbow of colored prism panels. Optic provides a chrome finish standard Donruss designs, and Select is known for its tiered base, the Concourse, the Premier, and the Field Level, which certain cards are naturally rarer than others. Then there's the high-end supercars, or super cards. Brands like the National Treasures and Flawless are for serious investors, frequently featuring on-card autographs and large patches of game-worn jerseys. Boxes of these can cost thousands, even tens of thousands of dollars, and they contain the most premium items, on-card autographs, patches from game-worn jerseys, and even embedded gems. As a beginner, you don't want to be buying these boxes, I don't think yet, but it's good to know that they are when you see them so that you can recognize them, and it's an absolute peak of the hobby. Within these sets, you'll find different types of cards. You have the base card, which is a standard player card that makes up most of the set. Then there's the all-important rookie card, marked with an RC logo most of the time. And these are the most sought-after cards for any player. Parallels are the versions of the base card in different colors and patterns. And many are serial numbered, meaning only a limited number exists. So you want to make sure you're one of the limited numbers, and it makes it rarer the lower the number of cards that they have, and more valuable. And finally, you have the inserts, which are special subsets with unique designs and autographed or memorabilia cards, which are often the most significant hits that you can find. Now, where to find them and how to put a budget together? Well, this is where there's any newcomer. We just suggested a couple things. You can go outside of retail and go to, like we said, the consignment shop or go to a rummage sale, or but that's sort of hit or miss. You don't know what genre, what years. You might not even find the players that you want to find, especially if you want more modern players. But you can go to a retail, go to big box stores like Target and Walmart, and they come in formats like blaster boxes, usually between $25 and $35, and or you have smaller packs, which might cost you $7-$8. Retail is way cheaper and turning into an easy entry point. However, the odds of finding scarce cards are very rare, and autographs and low number parallels are much, much, much lower a level of being able to find those. Think of it like playing the lottery. It's fun to play the low cost thrill, but don't expect to strike gold. Now, the hobby, our products are sold in the local card shops and online specialty realtors, and a hobby box is much more than expensive than the entry level, ranging from a few hundred dollars to even thousands of dollars. And sometimes the trade-off, hobby boxes guarantee hits. A hobby of a box of Prism, for example, will guarantee a certain number of autographs and rare parallels. And this is more for the more serious collector, but it's at a bigger cost. More risk, more reward. So what's my recommendation for a beginner? Actually, neither of these. The most critical piece of the advice I can give you is to accept the singles market. Instead of gambling on sealed boxes, you can go to the websites like eBay or COMC, or visit a local card show or a local card shop and get the exact card that you want. There's plenty of places online, like we said, eBay, Amazon, and some others. And even go to our Fanatics link, which we have right down here in the description. You might be able to find that card that you might be looking for there. We are an affiliate marketer of Fanatics. So anything that you buy on Fanatics through our link, that helps fund and keep our videos coming, as well as pigskindispatch.com. Now let's set a budget. Let's say you have $50 a month that you can spend. Don't just buy two blaster boxes. Instead, aim to buy one great, really single card for your collection each month. Maybe this month it's the Prism Rookie of your favorite player. Next month, maybe it's a cool-looking colored parallel. This method builds a meaningful collection you want and not a pile of commons you really don't care about. Now, how to spot a potentially a valuable card? This is a trick that there's a lot of different ways to go about this, but part of the fun of collecting is it's a treasure hunt. The chance you might stumble on something truly valuable, it's rare, but it could happen. So what elements produce value? It really boils down to a simple formula: the player, plus the card type, plus the scarcity, plus the condition. First, the most important thing is the player. In the football card world, quarterbacks are kings. The quarterback is the most critical position on a field, and it's also the most critical one in the pack. Now, their card values prove it. If after quarterbacks, you still have a star skilled position players, elite wide receivers, star running backs. While great defensive players get a lot of respect, their cards don't command the same high prices that the offensive counterparts do. Second is the card type. And the king of all of this is the rookie card. Look for that little RC that we talked about earlier, that little shield on the player's card. And the player's rookie card from a major set like Topps Chrome or Panini Prism is their blue chip collectible. It's the card that carries the most long-term value and potential throughout their entire career. Now, third, scarcity. Not all cards are created equal, and this is where the parallels shine, because a base Prism card is standard, but a silver Prism, the uncolored metallic version, is rare and more desirable. Then you have the whole rainbow of colors, blue, green, red, gold, black, whatever they have out that year. Many are serial numbered, telling you exactly how many were made. A card numbered 1/99 means only 99 copies exist. A card numbered /10 is even rarer, and a one of one is an ultimate prize. The lower the number, the more valuable the card, because there's less of them, and an autograph card has enormous value with its scarcity. And finally, there's a condition. A card with sharp corners, clean edges, and a perfectly centered image will always be worth more than ones with dings and flaws. So that's what you have on the new cards. But there's probably almost 100 years of player cards that you could go through. Now, they became really popular in the 50s, 60s, and the 70s. 80s and 90s are all over the place, but they are lesser value. 70s cards, which I grew up with, I wish I would have kept some of mine that I had when I was a kid, because they are at card shows more valuable. Some of them approaching in the hundreds of dollars. Some are even more expensive than that. And so they're rare finds to get. But cards seem to be holding their value and going up. Not quite the way the baseball cards do, but football is holding its own. And becoming quite a passionate fan base out there that's collecting cards. So make sure you join what you love. Make sure you do what you can afford. If you can only afford $5 a month, then by all means, do $5 a month. But like I said, you can go places and get some older cards and get, you know, 10 of them for a dollar. So with $5 at that, you get 50 bucks or 50 cards for $5. That's a great thing to enjoy each month. You have a card and a half a month, basically, to really enjoy and take a look at and admire. And you get to pick out the ones you want from the selections that they have. Card shop owners are definitely can be a help to you. And some other great resources with some very smart people that we're going to have up coming up here in some upcoming episodes, such as Bob Swick from Gridiron Greats Magazine. I have a few other buddies that are big collectors. And they're going to give out their pointers and how to do things as well. But another thing to do is how to store them. Now, you don't have to go and get something fancy. You know, back when I was a kid, hell, we had rubber bands and shoe boxes. Rubber bands might not be the best idea because it ruins that one element that we said causes value, which is condition. And that's where storage comes in place. But and maybe not the old shoe boxes, maybe not the greatest idea. But your local card store or online, they have special cardboard boxes that they can sell you, which are very reasonable and affordable. Also, they have different variations of plastic sleeves, from very thin milled clear plastic to some harder cases that you can do. I bought cases recently that were shown here in the video, where you can put a pack of 50 to 100 cards in one small case, and then take multiples of those and put them in a larger case, just like you see on screen right now. So there's many ways to collect, many different things to collect. You got to pick your lane and stay in it and do something you can afford, and most of all, have fun doing it. But it's that connective tissue to the game we love, and I think you're going to enjoy it. I've collected when I was a teenager, and now I've brought it back here as an adult, and I missed the in between. But yes, it does connect you to the game. It makes it really enjoyable, especially to see those legends of the game that you love to watch on Sundays, or maybe you like to watch on Sundays 50 years ago, or maybe never got to watch. You get to enjoy them. But never fear. We're going to salute them here on Pigskin Dispatch, on our videos, on pigskindispatch.com, on our daily timelines, and celebrate their birthdays as well here at Pigskin Dispatch. We're here for you. We're here for football history. And what better way to preserve football history than to collect some cards? So do what you love, and good luck with that. And stay tuned for our upcoming episodes as we give you some advice from experts on how to start collecting football cards. Hope you enjoyed this. Till next time, everybody, have a great Gridiron Day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Sports History Network, where legends live on and the past plays loud.
Welcome to the place where history's proud, from gridiron glory to the hardwood stars, from the racetrack heat to Olympic bars. It's the voices, the stories, the moments you miss, told by fans and pros who live for this. Hook and Thimmick, the Sports History Network, where the past comes alive, podcasts and blogs that keep the flame high. From Babe to Brady, Alley to the Dome, if it's history and sports, then this is the home. SportsHistoryNetwork.com, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.